1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 15 and reading down through verse 23. And you can follow me in whatever translation you have. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. But though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Been over 20 years now since I was called to preach at DeKalb Baptist Church. I felt God's leadership years ago to be in the gospel ministry. And the Word of God commands us that we're to make disciples. That is, you're not only to lead someone to Jesus Christ, but you're to equip them in Scripture. And you're to make a disciple for Christ. That's our ministry. The title of the message today is Building Bridges. When I went to DeKalb, I had a desire to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You use the gospel for that purpose. But I practice what I call relationship evangelism. What I mean by that is I don't just give the gospel cold turkey. That is, just tell someone the gospel and then ride off into the sunset, not really realizing what took place after the gospel had been communicated. But I build a relationship with people. That's my desire. I build that relationship up front. And then as that relationship expands, I look for ways to build bridges into that person's life. And as I build those bridges, one day God opens it up so I can share Jesus Christ, the gospel. And not only share Jesus Christ, the gospel, but when they come to faith in Jesus Christ, then I can help equip them. I can teach them and encourage them and produce, hopefully, a disciple for Jesus Christ. That's what we're all to do. This is our ministry. Our ministry is to make disciples. That was Paul's ministry here to the church at Corinth. He had led a number of Corinthians to Jesus Christ, and the way he did that is the same way I was talking about. He built bridges. He met them, and then he built bridges into their life. Many of them began to like the Apostle Paul, and based on that friendship, he could share Jesus Christ with them in a very relaxed manner so that they understood what he was saying. I remember I moved into DeKalb Baptist Church, and there was two men that I met right off the bat. Just first guys that came up to me. One was Troy Coward. The other was Robert Smith. Now, they had heard that I had some bird dogs, and they were hunters. So they immediately were drawn to me. And they both said in crescendo, "You're going to sell those bird dogs because there's no birds here. But there's a lot of deer. You're going to become a deer hunter." And I said, "I'm not giving up my bird dogs." They said, "Yes, you are." Well, they were right, I did. and I became a deer hunter there. But God doesn't waste people on me. I realized that they were there for a purpose. So I immediately set out to build a relationship with both of those guys. And building relationships sometimes is hard work. It really is. You have to work at it. And I began to get closer to Troy Coward than I did Robert Smith for some reasons that I won't go into. But I began to spend a lot of time with Troy. He'd call me up and say, "Let's go build a deer stand." I said, "All right, let's go." So we're out in the woods. Of course, I got my hunting clothes on, and we're out there. And he's thinking, "What is this preacher doing out here in the middle of the woods?" Well, one day, I saw my opportunity. So right there on the ground with a stick, I drew my little circles. I drew my little cross, and I shared the gospel with Troy Coward. Well, it was God's perfect timing, because he had heard that years and years and years ago, but it had not really gelled in his mind. He did not come to faith in Jesus Christ at that point. Now, he made a profession, but he really didn't see it clearly. But boy, he did that day. And God transformed that fellow's life. Just an old country boy. You've met Troy Coward. I mean, he doesn't abuse the English language. He obliterates the English language. He's just a country boy. He just says it plainly like it is. But Troy got, he was so consumed with the Word of God that he had me over to his house every day, and he'd open the Bible, come over to the table, make some coffee, would sit down, he would open the Bible, he'd say, "Teach me." So, man, I did that. I drew circles, taught. I tried to pour as much of the Word of God into his mind as I possibly could. I tried to maximize my time. I just put the Word in his mind, in his mind, in his mind. And about 5 years later, I got this phone call. He said, "I'm teaching Sunday school." I wanted to say, "What? You? I need some information. I need some answers to some questions." So we on the phone, we got that settled, and I just kept feeding him. And first thing I realized, he had a large Sunday school class. Huge. In fact, this Sunday school class grew so quick that even the music minister and his wife was going to Troy's Sunday school class. He was teaching the Word of God. Well, he hasn't come down since. He's still serving the Lord, still living for Him. But that's what I call relationship evangelism and building bridges into somebody's life. This is exactly what Paul says right here. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm telling you, this is exactly what he says. Before we look in verse 15, I'm going to go through 15, 16, and 17 again. I did it last week, but I'm going to go through it again. It kind of sets the pace for what's coming. And then we'll launch into the Word of God and find out what it says here. Let's pray. Father, it's always my prayer that God the Holy Spirit would teach our human spirits your Word. We know that we can learn it, we can understand it no other way than you bring it to light. You make it live within us. You give us understanding. And so, Father, I pray that the ministry of God the Holy Spirit would be present today to do that. Just teach us your Word, I pray. And I pray ultimately that your Word would begin to grip our lives and change our thinking, change our thoughts, change our words, change who we are from within. Father, that we can begin to live for you and we can become communicators of the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now keep in mind, before we launch in here, the gospel, the good news. The good news is good because the bad news is bad. The bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, eternal separation from God, and the place the Bible describes, the Lord Jesus Christ describes, as hell. That's not good news, is it? But it sets the stage for the good news. The good news is that God loved us so much. Now that as God, He couldn't do anything about it, but He loved us so much and He determined that He was going to pay our sin debt. So He did something amazing. God became a man so that he could go to the cross and die. And there he paid our sin debt in full. He paid for all of our sin, past, present, and future. It was all nailed to him on the cross of Calvary. He paid the debt in full. I love those words. Or it's one word in the Greek, but it's three words in the English. Tetelestai. It is finished. He did it all. He paid the entire debt, was buried, rose again the third day to show beyond any doubt that God the Father was satisfied with His work. Now that's the good news. And because of that good news, God provides to all who will trust Him eternal life. If we'll trust Him by faith, we can live forever. If we trust Him by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we can live forever. He applies what He accomplished on the cross to our life by simple faith. Trust Him, we can have life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, the Bible says. Very, very important truth. That's the gospel. So God had called Paul to preach the gospel. He had preached it to a bunch of Corinthians. But notice how he does this. Watch this. Look in verse 15. He says, "But I have used none of these things." That is, he didn't do this for, he set aside everything that that he had a right to have, a wife, money, all of the above. He set aside all of those things, those personal conveniences. "Nor have I written these things that it should be so done to me, for it would be better for me to die than anyone should make my boasting void." In other words, he gave up all of his salary. He gave up all of his the right to have a wife. He gave up all of his rights so that the gospel could be preached to other people. In other words, his whole life was set apart to the gospel. And then he said in verse 16, If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Verse 17. That is, if I chose to do it myself, then I should be paid. I should be compensated. But he said, I didn't choose to do this. God set me apart way back in my mother's womb. When I was in my mother's womb, I was set apart to the gospel. And then when I was born into the world, I was on my way to destroy the church of God on the road to Damascus, and I met the Lord Jesus Christ in person. And He transformed my life. He put me in the ministry. And then He equipped me, Galatians 1:17, Jesus Christ taught me the gospel. And that's why I preach the gospel. I didn't choose to do this. God put me in the ministry. And then He says in verse 18, "What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel." In other words, He said, the gospel is free. It's not of works. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You receive the benefits of the work of Jesus Christ free. Free. It's a gift. And Paul says, since it's a gift, I make it free myself. I don't abuse my role as a gospel preacher. I make it free. I make it free. Look in verse 19. This is where we launch out in some new areas right here. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." Paul says, I'm free from all of the expectations of the human race. I am responsible to only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not subject to anybody's judgment. I am free from all men. I'm free. I can choose to live my life the way I please. I can do my ministry the way I please. But he said, I have chosen, however, to make myself a servant to all. And I assume what that means is that when God brought someone into Paul's life, he saw that as opportunity. He realized that God didn't waste people on him. Everybody in his realm of influence was there for a reason. God brought them to Paul for a purpose. And he became God's slave, God's galley slave, just a minister of the gospel. That was his role. That was his life, was to share the good news with all those people that came into his life, because God was bringing them there for that purpose. And I say this often, not everyone is going to respond to the gospel, but everyone has a right to hear the facts. Everyone has a right to hear the gospel. And that's why we're here. We're just to share it, to let it loose in people's lives. Not everybody's going to respond, you know, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm overwhelmed with my guilt. I'm overwhelmed with my sin. I need a Savior. I want to go to Him. Not everybody's going to respond that way. But some are going to see it. Some are going to see themselves the way God sees them, as sinners in need of a Savior. And they're going to run to Jesus Christ. Whereas before, they didn't know they could. They didn't know who Jesus was and what He had done for them. But now they know the facts. And many of them are going to respond by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's taking full advantage. He says, I'm making myself a slave to everyone who comes into my life. I'm going to build bridges, is what he's saying. I'm going to build bridges in their life. Look in verse 20. And to the Jews, that's first of all, I became a what? I became a Jew. To the Jews, I became a Jew. Now we know that Paul was born a Jew. He was a Jew. But what he was saying is, I'm not going to alienate the Jews from me. I know what makes Jews tick. I know they love the law. So I'm not going to do anything that would cause them problems with me. I'm not going to build a fence that would keep them from me. I'm going to build a bridge so they can cross over to me easily. So I'm not going to say anything about the law that would make them mad. I'm not going to do anything that would frustrate them. And quite the contrary. He says, to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law. Because he knew how the Jews felt. Sure he did. And he didn't want to do anything to bring a reproach on the gospel. He wanted the gospel to be understood. He wanted free grace to be understood. He wanted the work and worth of Jesus Christ to be understood. So he didn't alienate them. And he did the same thing in his life. Though he knew the purpose of the law was not to make anybody good, or, as I've often said, not to make a bad man good or a good man better. He knew the purpose of the gospel, or the law rather, was to be used by the Holy Spirit to render people sinners, to realize that they're not right. They're telling me to hook this thing on here, so I'm going to hook it on there. Getting all kinds of signals. But you get the picture. Paul says, I became as Jewish as I needed to be. And we do the same thing, do we not? We use all kinds of things to build bridges. That's why God brought so many things into my life. You know, I love music. Well, music is a great tool to build a bridge into somebody's life. And I've used that countless number of times. And I love all kinds of music. If you know me, I love the highbrow stuff. And I'm happy with the good old country gospel. Bluegrass gospel. I'm comfortable with all of them, Mark. I'm just as comfortable as I can be, because it builds bridges. And something as Mark Hathaway is not here, but I like to hand load bullets. Well, he likes hand loading, and I found that out pretty quick. So I just sort of latched on to him. I built that bridge into his life. Grandchildren, great bridge builder. You like to talk about your grandchildren, so do I. But those grandchildren, ultimately, our discussion about them will lead to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll share Christ. What are we doing? We're building bridges into people's lives. We're getting to know people. That's what Paul is saying. He said, to the Jew, I became what? A Jew. Now, he realized that the gospel was going to free them from Judaism. Once they came to faith in Jesus Christ, they were going to lose their identity as a Jew. They were going to become a new creation in Christ. But he wanted them to know the gospel. And notice, let's read on. He said, to those who are without law, now that's Gentiles, verse 21, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, Paul says, I'm not lawless. He says, I'm not against the Ten Commandments, but he says, I'm under the law to Christ. I'm building a personal relationship with the living Lord. My Christianity is a person, not the Ten Commandments. My Christianity is growing to love a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, not keeping a set of rules or instructions or codes or commands. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is not law, it's relationship. So Paul says, not without law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. In other words, he could hang with the Gentiles as well as he could hang with the Jews. I remember one incident when he was eating with in a Gentile home with a man named Simon the Tanner. Now, if you know anything about a tanner, they were like our taxidermists are today. If you've ever been in the back room of a taxidermist shop, you know what I'm talking about. The smell is horrible, right? Well, that's the way a tanner was back then. They were tanners. They tanned animal skins. And their homes sometimes kind of reflected that. But the Apostle Paul let all the barriers down. He'd go to the home of Simon the Tanner and eat. And he'd even eat a roast of pork, which, you know, that wouldn't be good for Jews who were real Jews to see him eating the pork. But after a while, they became relaxed with the Apostle Paul. They saw him as just one of them. And they relaxed around him. And as soon as they were relaxed around him, he found an opportunity to share Christ to the Gentiles. He unleashed the power of the gospel. And many of them came to faith in Jesus Christ. And they saw him as an apostle sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And they were so thankful for his ministry. But he built bridges into the Jews' lives, into the Gentile lives. He made them relax around him. He grew to know them. They grew to know him. That's called what I call relationship evangelism. Now watch this. That's exactly what he's saying. In verse 22, he goes a little further. He says, to the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. It's interesting that if you're trying to share the gospel with somebody, some street people on the street, homeless people, and if you go down on the street with them, if you go to where they are, and you share some food with them, or you share some clothing with them, you do something to build a bridge into their life. You relate to them in some way. That's why I love my guitar. It relates to everybody. Go down on the street corner, man, you crank up a song, I'll Fly Away, it draws a crowd. And they're amazed at that, but you get a chance to share Jesus Christ. To the weak, you become weak. To those who think they're somewhats, you become a little somewhat. You try to build bridges into their lives, and you use every asset that God gives you to do that. And there are plenty of them. If you've got a great personality, you like to laugh, like my friend Michael, you get an opportunity to share Christ a lot. I remember when he was a cable guy, going into the homes of these people, he'd be on the floor doing something, but he would be sharing Jesus Christ with them. Mark Wasson, same way, working on a washing machine. Washing machine makes a good bridge to somebody's life, does it not? It's a great bridge for the gospel. Fix my washing machine, share Jesus Christ. Fix my car, share Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it's all about. It's as we live our lives, we look for opportunities to build those relationships, and then we look for the opportunity to share Christ. Paul says to the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. Now watch this. Here's a blanket statement. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now he was making a point. He didn't mean that he saved anybody. That's not what he's saying. Jesus Christ saves people. The gospel saves people. Paul doesn't save anybody. But what he was saying is, I'm building a relationship with those people so that I can share Jesus Christ who will give them life. Right? That's the point. Relationship evangelism. It's just as easy to share Jesus Christ with a friend as it is to share Jesus Christ with someone who is a stranger. So you can build those friendships. You know what I find in my own life? If I'm patient in that relationship, God will give me the right time and the right place to share Jesus Christ. Where it won't be awkward. It won't be like, you're a preacher and you're here to give me the message. Give me the spiel so I can get back to work. You know, it won't be like that. I know what you're up to. You're here trying to save my soul, but I'm not going to let that happen. So go ahead and give me your best shot and then get on with your life. No, that's not what it's all about. It takes sometimes years to build relationships. Years. And a lot of hard work. And like we've often said here, people are watching us. And when we walk through valleys with them in their lives, their children, their grandchildren, and we get to know them, then they begin to trust us. And when they begin to trust us, we share Christ with them. Many of them want to know what makes you tick. They want to know that. They want to know who you are and what you're all about. You just have to look for the right times to share it with them. And God will give you the right times and in the right way so that they stay comfortable. Look at this. He says, to the weak I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now look in verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake that I may be a partaker of it with you. Now I love this. Watch this. What's happening when the gospel is being communicated is we call that seed planting. Well, the Bible calls it seed planting. That's what we're doing. We're planting seeds. We're putting the truths of grace into people's mind. And sometimes that seed will not germinate for years down the road before that seed germinates. But then someone comes along and they share Jesus Christ with them, and it brings back some memories of when they heard that years ago, and like Troy Coward, they're born of God. They're born of God. Somebody planted a seed. I came along and reaped the fruit, right? And some are seed planters and some are reaping the fruit. Look in John chapter 4, just a second. We're going to close right here. John chapter 4. He said, Paul says, I do this that I might be a partaker of the gospel with you. Now, that has a lot of meaning. When Paul led someone to Jesus Christ, he became involved in their life, and then he began to equip them with the expectation that Jesus Christ is coming back. And they began to look for the Savior because they were listening to the teaching of the Word of God, and Paul was able to continue to teach them the Scripture. But look in John chapter 4, look in verse 35. He says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may... rejoice together. Folks, we're in this together. Isn't that fantastic? Now, I'm always impressed with people who say, you know, you're Dick Hill, aren't you? I heard the gospel from you. I was born again from you. But they had gone far from me. That was years ago. They had grown up and become profitable to God. They had become a disciple. Now, that kind of impressed me that God used me in their life. But that's not what it's all about. I'm just a small part in all of this. There's some who plant. There's some who reap. But we both rejoice together. They rejoice. I rejoice. We do it together. The point of the passage is this. How about building bridges into someone's life? How about building that relationship with people? How about building that relationship with a neighbor? If they want to borrow your lawnmower, you think, good night. I hate to loan that thing. But it's just a piece of stuff. Loan the lawnmower. Build that relationship. They come over, they want a jar, they want a cup of sugar. Give them a cup of sugar. Build those relationships. They want to talk football. Talk football with them. They want to talk music. Talk music. Build that relationship. God doesn't waste people on us. He doesn't send those people into our lives for no good purpose. He has a purpose in doing that. We're just not to waste it. Don't waste it. Paul says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. He entrusted us with the good news. We need to share it, but we also need to be careful how we share it. Build those relationships, build the bridges, become all things to all men, that by all means, God may through you save some. What about it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time today. Thank you for the message that's before us. Thank you for the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Father, thank you for that bridge building that he used and that he taught us to use. Becoming all things to all men. Father, not being involved in their evil or their sin, not compromising who we are, what we believe, but finding ways, finding means to get into their life, finding little avenues that will open up their mind to hear what you have to say. Father, unleashing the powerful message of the gospel. It's the gospel that's the power. It's the gospel that breaks down all the objections. It's the gospel that is the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's the gospel that does its work in our lives and our minds. But we find strategic ways to get the gospel into people's thinking. We want to get the truth in there in such a way that God the Holy Spirit can use it. I thank you for men like Troy Coward, Father, who are continuing to serve you, having become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Father, would you impress upon us the words of Paul? Become all things to all men, that you might gain the more, that you by some means may save some by giving them the good news of Christ. Thank you for the good time to follow, for the food that we're going to eat, for the music this afternoon. We pray again that it would all work together to glorify Jesus Christ. Thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen.